Welcome back, everyone, to Equity Tutors. Today, we're going to be starting a new module. Welcome to those of you just joining us for this module. We do have covered all of the AS modules previously in the last year or so, and the first couple of modules in A2 in the last few months. So if you want to go and listen to those first, you are welcome to do so. And if you are just here for the genetics and inheritance module, that is also fine, since we won't be referring to many of the previous lessons today. It's mostly going to be new stuff. So today we're just going to cover the basic concepts and terminology that you need to understand genetics and genetic inheritance. So starting with, what is genetic inheritance? So it is the process of transferring traits from parents to offsprings, but during both sexual as well as asexual reproduction. So passing on genes and traits from parents to the children, essentially. So this is done through passing of the genetic material, or DNA, from parent to offspring. Although it is seen in all organisms, from bacteria to complex mammals such as humans, we are mainly going to focus on sexually reproducing organisms in this article. So it's mostly going to be in the context of animals or humans. And there is one scientist whose name you need to remember when we think about inheritance, and was really the person who figured all of this out and whose theories still live on to this day, and that is Mendel. And he deeply studied genetic inheritance and put forward two laws of inheritance after performing thousands of experiments that I said still stand to this day. And these experiments prove that all the traits of an organism come from the combination of traits that are found in his parents. So I know that sounds like an obvious thing now, because you look at your parents and you think, I got this trait from my mother, maybe this trait from my father. But at the time, this was actually revolutionary. So we're going to learn about those two laws of inheritance also. So his work on inheritance laid the foundation of modern world genetics. And today we'll discuss how different traits are passed on to the next generation in sexually reproducing organisms, and study these laws put forward by Gregor Mendel, and even work through some examples of how specific traits are passed on to offspring. So let's start then with some basic concepts and some terminology that you actually may know about from your GCSEs, but they may also be new to you depending on which exam board you are studying. So before diving into the discussion of genetic inheritance, it is necessary to recall the basic concepts that will help us in understanding the subject matter much better. And the first concept that we're going to talk about is homologous and non-homologous chromosomes. So the genetic material in eukaryotes is present in the form of DNA within the nucleus of a cell. And this DNA is highly coiled to form compact structures called chromosomes. And the number of chromosomes is constant in all individuals belonging to one species, i.e. all humans have the same number of chromosomes, which is 46 or 23 pairs, and they are broadly identical to each other, apart from natural genetic variation you see, but all of the genes will be in the same location on the same chromosomes, for example. So these chromosomes are present in the form of pairs. One member of each pair comes from the mother, while the other member comes from the father. If the members of a pair are identical in structure and composition, these matching pairs are called homologous chromosomes. So homologous in this context just means identical. Humans have 22 pairs of homologous chromosomes. So that means that all of the genes present on one of your chromosome copies is identical to all of the genes present on the second of those copies, one of each coming from each of your parents. But the 23rd pair is non-homologous, and these are the sex chromosomes. So one pair in humans is different in males and females. These chromosomes of this pair are non-homologous chromosomes, also called the sex chromosomes. So you have an X and a Y if you're a male, and an X and an X if you're a female. And those chromosomes are not identical to each other. So the next concept we're going to talk about is the difference between a gene and an allele. And this can be very confusing. I remember when I was in school, I didn't understand this for the longest of times, and I just had to learn the definitions ready for exams, but didn't quite understand what it meant. So hopefully by the end of this lesson, you will understand the difference between a gene and an allele today. So the genetic information in DNA is in the form of genes. So genes are just one part of the DNA. It's made up of DNA that acts as an instruction to make a specific protein. Typically, it's coded to make a specific protein. Not all genes make proteins, but typically they do. So all the genetic information in DNA is in the form of genes. And a gene is a segment of DNA that codes for the synthesis of one particular protein. And the genes all together form part of a chromosome. So the portion of a chromosome that carries a particular gene is called an allele. So that is the location where the gene is at on the chromosome. And every cell has two copies of one gene, because every cell has two copies of every chromosome on the homologous chromosomes. And these are known as the alleles. So one allele is maternal in origin, while the other is paternal. The two alleles may be the same or they may be different. So to give you a very basic, simple example, one of your parents may have blue eyes, one of your parents may have brown eyes. Hypothetically, you could have a blue eye colour allele and a brown eye colour allele. So the alleles are referring to the specific nature of the genes that you have, whereas the gene is a more generic name for the location in the DNA which codes for eye colour. So the gene is the segment of DNA that has the specific instruction for the cell. An allele are different forms of that single gene. So they are the variants of a gene that are located in the same place on the chromosome. Usually these are different between the two different chromosomes because you will have inherited slightly different genetic material from your parents. Okay, so next let's talk about the difference between a genotype and a phenotype. The characteristics of an individual are determined by the genes present in the forms of an allele. The entire genetic makeup for all the alleles present in the individual are collectively known as their genotype. So what is the nature of the genes that you possess? The traits shown by an individual are called its phenotype. And then we have two new terms here, homozygous and heterozygous. Homozygous genotypes include two similar alleles for characteristics, while heterozygous genotypes include two different alleles. So let's put that together looking at the context of the image that's on the screen. So the top half is showing the chromosomes present in these flies, and you can see there's two copies of each of the chromosomes, and the gene on each of the chromosomes is labeled with either a capital W or a lowercase w. So that is the genotype, and depending on whether you have a capital W or a lowercase w, that is the allele. So there is a slight variation in terms of the coded here by the capital letter or the lowercase letter, that is the allele, whereas the gene itself relating to the type of wing is always in the same location. So you have four different genotypes. You have a homozygous capital letter WW, and then the two in the middle are heterozygous. You have one allele which is a capital and one which is lowercase. That's true for the two middle flies, and then the final one is also homozygous, but this time they're both lowercase w's. And then on the bottom half of this image we have the phenotypes. So how does this genotype, so the nature of the alleles expressed in your chromosomes, how does that affect actually what the wings will look like? To study that and to predict the outcome of that genotype, we first need to understand another concept. and that is dominant and recessive traits. So it's important to become familiar with these two terms before we move on to studying the law of inheritance. So every trait that is expressed by an individual has two alleles, as we said. If the trait is expressed, even if only one allele is present, it is called a dominant trait. So again, going back to the eye colour example, if one of your parents has a brown eyes, one has blue eyes, and those genes are responsible for which eye colour you have, obviously you can't have both, one will need to be dominant. Normally this is the brown eyes that are dominant. So a dominant trait will express itself even in both cases, i.e. even if you have the dominant and the recessive trait. In this example, brown and blue eyes, it's always the brown eyes, the dominant trait, that will be expressed as the phenotype. Thus, this trait can have either a homozygous genotype or a heterozygous genotype. So there can be two dominant homozygous alleles or a heterozygous expression, but still they will have the same phenotype because of that dominant gene being present. And all of the alleles of dominant traits are written in capital letters. So some traits are only expressed if both the alleles are present, and the opposite trait is expressed if one of the alleles is absent. And these are called recessive traits. So these traits only appear in the case of homozygous genotype, and the alleles of recessive traits are written in small letters. In a heterozygous genotype, if an allele prevents the expression of another allele, it's called the dominant allele, and the other allele that is not expressed is called the recessive allele. So with that in mind, now let's go back to our image of these flies with either normal or wrinkled wings. Again, now if we look at the genotypes in the context of how we just understood dominant and recessive traits, you see that the trait for wrinkled wings is recessive. So only the fly on the far right side, the homozygous recessive WW, actually has the phenotype of wrinkled wings. The heterozygous genotypes in the middle, so the capital W and the lowercase w, the two in the middle, both have normal wings because the normal wing gene, the normal wing allele, sorry, is dominant. And they end up having the same phenotype as the homozygous fly where actually has the both alleles are dominant. So just from looking at the phenotype, the lesson is here that you can't actually tell what the genotype is. So now let's go back to the scientist that I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, who is sort of the father of modern genetics and help us understand the basics of genetics and inheritance. So Gregor Mendel was an Austrian monk who conducted several experiments to study the inheritance of many characteristics in pea plants. He is regarded as the father of modern genetics, as he was the first person to study and explain the correct process of how different characteristics are transferred from one generation to the next. A number of incorrect hypotheses were prevalent among scientists before this time, so before his work, which was published in 1865. But it was approved by the scientific community in 1906, so it took a long time for it to be accepted as fact. He did his work when the scientists were even unaware of the word gene and what a gene was. So that gives you an understanding of how groundbreaking this was at the time. And Mendel experimented on thousands of pea plants he grew in his own garden, and he put forward two universally accepted laws after rigorous experimentations. And the reason that he chose these pea plants that were grown in his own garden were for a number of reasons, and he made a point that any organism selected for study and inheritance should have the following traits. Firstly, it should have several traits that can be studied. The different traits should be contrasting, i.e. there should be very different phenotypes for two different traits, so they shouldn't be overlapping. For example, for height, the organism should be tall or short and nothing in between. The organism should allow for cross-fertilization. The life cycle of the organism should be fast and short. So imagine you were studying humans, for example, to look at inheritance. You can see how that would take a very long time to do, whereas with plants, and specifically these pea plants, there was a very quick turnaround time. And then he crossed the plants through cross-pollination by transferring the pollen of the flower from one plant to the other. And he studied 7 different traits in the pea plant. So the shape of the seed colour, the flower position, the pod shape, the pod colour, and the stem length. So you can see that this covers all of the arguments that he made that you should have in an organism that you want to study for inheritance. So the traits, are there several different traits that have been studied, and they're very different to each other and are contrasting. The first law that we're going to discuss that come out of Mendel's work is the law of segregation. So he first actually conducted experiments on one characteristic at a time. For this purpose, he crossed 2 plants having only one contrasting trait. And here we're going to look at seed shape. So he crossed a homozygous round-seeded plant with a homozygous wrinkled-seeded plant. All the seeds obtained as a result of this cross were heterozygous and had a round shape. So Mendel concluded that the trait round seeds was dominant, while the trait wrinkled seed was recessive. So again, very similar to the example that we just looked at in the flies with the normal wings and the wrinkled wings. He then planted these same seeds the next year and allowed the new plants to undergo self-pollination. As a result of this cross, he obtained round and wrinkled seeds in a ratio of 3-1. And he studied other traits in identical experiments. So instead of looking at seed shape, for example, looking at seed colour, and he found that you always had the same ratio. So based on these experiments, Mendel concluded that each trait is controlled by discrete factors that are separable from one another. So for every trait, there exist 2 such factors. These discrete factors get separated during gamete formation, and so that every gamete gets only one of the discrete factors. They join together as the gametes fuse to form a zygote, and these conclusions are called the law of segregations. And these discrete factors, you may have guessed by now, were later called by biologists as genes. So all that we are saying here is that you are inheriting one gene from each parent, and they come back together in the offspring. And then when you pass on your genes to your offspring, only one copy will be passed on. And it's key here that those 2 copies are kept separately. So that is the law of segregation. Okay, so the second law is the law of independent assortment. In the next series of experiments, Mendel studied 2 traits at a time. He crossed 2 plants having 2 contrasting traits, for example, seed shape and seed colour. His previous experiments proved that the round seed trait was dominant over the wrinkled seed, and similarly, yellow colour was dominant over green colour. And Mendel crossed a homozygous plant having round and yellow seeds with another homozygous plant having wrinkled and green seeds. And the resulting seed had a heterozygous genotype that were all round and yellow. And if you were to predict those genotypes based on what you've already knew, of course, the round is dominant and the yellow is dominant, so all of them would be round and yellow. But it's when you look at the second round of crossover that things get interesting and Mendel learned more. So he planted these seeds the next year and found astonishing results. The seeds produced as a result of self-pollination were in the following ratio. So they were 9 round yellow, 3 round green, 3 wrinkled yellow, and 1 wrinkled green. The round and green, as well as the wrinkled and yellow, were not present in the parent plants. So after these experiments, Mendel concluded that the inheritance of 2 or more traits is not tied to one another. The seed colour is not tied to the seed shape. The segregation of genes responsible for these traits takes place separately from one another, and this is known as the law of independent assortment. So it states that the segregation of alleles of one gene pair and the distribution of gametes takes place independently of the allele of another gene pair. And what that means is just because you have one gene from one parent that is determining, for example, your eye colour, doesn't mean that all the other genes on that chromosome will be identical to your father's chromosome. So somewhere along the line, they're all getting mixed up with each other, which is what we refer to as independent assortment. And this law proved that different traits are transferred from parents to the next generation independently of one another. So I want to end the lesson by just working through a very simple example of monohybrid inheritance. So this is the inheritance of a single gene. And in the next lesson, things will get more complicated. You'll look at multiple genes being inherited and how they affect one phenotype and even X-linked inheritance. But today we'll just look at monohybrid inheritance. And the gene that we are looking at here is the gene responsible for dwarfism. So starting from the start of the top of this cross, so looking at the phenotypes, or the tall person and a person suffering from dwarfism. So the genotype for those phenotypes in the tall person is two capital T's. So those are two dominant alleles, and the dwarfism is two recessive alleles. So when we look at the gametes that would be produced from both of those homozygous genotypes, the gamete that will be produced will all have one dominant allele and one recessive allele, because the gametes will all include either the dominant from the tall person or the recessive from the person with dwarfism, which means the first generation will all be tall. So they'll all be heterozygous, one dominant allele, one recessive allele. And then a first F1 cross, so that means two people from that first generation of mating then cross with each other. What you can see there from the genotypes and phenotypes, so the F2 is similar to the genotype pattern that we saw with the flies earlier. So firstly, going from left to right, we have a tall phenotype, and that is from a homozygous dominant genotype. Then in the middle we have two heterozygous dominant recessive, so those people are still carrying the dwarfism gene. And then the final phenotype is a person suffering from dwarfism, where they have both recessive copies of the genes. So these crosses are very common. They're very common exam questions, and I recommend that you draw these Punnett squares out a number of times, looking at how those patterns of inheritance occurs. You will get used to the ratios that you expect from crossing heterozygous with homozygotes and dominant and recessive alleles, etc., but they still do require some practice. So I am going to leave the lesson there today, but I just want to remind you before I go of some important definitions. So firstly, an allele, so this is an alternative form of a gene occupying a position on a chromosome. Secondly, heterozygous has two different alleles, for example, uppercase R, lowercase r, or homozygous has two alleles of the same, either two uppercase r's or two lowercase r's. Genotype, this is the genetic constitution of an organism. Phenotype, the appearance determined by the genotype. Dominant, out of the pair of alleles, this is the one which takes effect or appearance and is usually represented by a capital letter. And recessive, an allele that affects the phenotype of the organism only if the dominant allele is not present. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can access additional content on our Patreon page by searching for Equity Tutors, where we have a second 30-minute lesson every week, plus monthly bonus content. You can also find us on most social media platforms. We will keep you updated on new content, and you can find us there by searching for Equity Tutors UK. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment wherever you are listening. And if you're enjoying, please leave a review. Bye. Bye.
Bye.